This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Boys, put down your utensils. I want to talk to you about something real quick. If there's anything that you want to talk about, any kind of secrets, now's the time to put it on the table, okay? And if you tell me, we're not going to be mad.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I went to the petting zoo and I let the goat lick my honey.
Promise you wouldn't get mad, okay? They're being honest.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
One time I put a firefly in my butt.
Why?
To make my farts glow.
Oh, God.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I touched myself to Drew Carey on the bus, right?
God. Okay, that's enough. Stop, please.
The Fan.
Let me tell you what I want to do. The best opening we got. Welcome back in. Loaded final hour. Let's do this. Dirt and Sprague, thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Eating some candy, talking some sports, having fun. Beautiful day. Beautiful
Ooh, there's a York day. In here.
Nobody likes Yorks.
What?
Nobody wants a York bar.
Dude, almond joys and Yorks. Give me all of them.
No, you can have all the Yorks you want.
You don't
man.
Like York?
You dissing the peppermint patty?
I'm dissing the peppermint patty.
It's refreshing.
How do you disrespect the York?
You know what we have in the kitchen? There is, by the way, well, we've never had this amount of candy left in the building. It's wild. It is all over. Everywhere you go.
Yeah.
In the kitchen, there's a bowl of candy,
and every time you think you've gone through it all, then the next day, there are two more bowls magically
appear. I'm
putting
in a lot of work over here to try and finish it all up, and everybody keeps bringing it back in. We had peanut butter M&Ms in the kitchen today.
There was also pizza.
Oh, was there? I missed the pizza.
Yeah.
This is that magical time of year where everybody kind of just punts on health because they know Thanksgiving's in 2 weeks. So they're like, you know what? Why do I need to be eating healthy this day?
January 1st. We'll get there.
How do you hate York, too?
Just not a York guy. Not a peppermint guy. Just not my cup of tea, bro.
Do you like those peppermint pretzels that they sell that are at Costco?
No, I hate those.
What?
I do,
The white
not
chocolate
a fan.
Peppermint?
The fiance bought some a couple weeks back that were, no thanks, man. No thanks. Not my jam. All right, we got a lot to get to in the final hour. We start, though, with our NFL challenge.
The Fan presents a little trip around the National Football League.
Simple plays executed with a maximum of effort.
Game by game, our hosts are ready to make their picks against the murderer's row that is the Fan Air Staff. The Junior Fan Genius.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm six.
And yes, you, the mighty fan listener.
Oh, no. We woke up the mama.
This is the Fan's Pro Football Challenge, brought to you by Encore Audio Video.
Today I'm laying the big wood.
The Pro Football Challenge with Dirt and Spray on 1080.
It's go time, yo.
The Fan.
Cut that meat. Cut that meat. Let's make some NFL picks, shall we? By the way, it should be noted, first off, nobody likes Yorks. Second,
do you like Andes?
No. Multiple people have texted in. They have laid money on the parlay of the day.
Oh.
We have Blake in the Burrow text in. I got a lucky $7 on the parlay
Let's
of the day.
Let's go.
And another one. Okay, Jason, I bet your parlay. Let's do it. He was a serious dude. Called you Jason.
I need you guys to remember, though, this was swag parlay.
I'm either
going to
be the most popular fan personality tomorrow, or my name is Mud.
Parlay of the day. Okay, here's where we're at. Listener leader is a Blue Beta 20. He is alone atop the standings at 100.
Buzz, your girlfriend, I had a bad weekend.
You and Swigard really took it in the shorts last week there, Bob.
I had a lot of people just passed me on that leaderboard.
And guess who's sniffing at your tail?
We're tied.
Oh, no, I think I have 90.
I have 90.
Oh, you do, that's right. Swigard has 91.
Yes.
So you, Brandon Sprague, had 4 right last week. Jason Swigard had 3.
What did I miss?
Not a good week.
And I got 7.
Swigard had 3?
He had 3. So yeah,
we mentioned the favorites went 3-9-1 against the spread.
So I hit the Browns over the Bills. You guys didn't take that.
No.
There was another upset. There were a couple other upsets that I took.
Well, nobody got the Falcons beating the
Nobody
Saints.
Got the Falcons. Nobody got Kansas City. What's the other one? Yeah. I took Chicago over Detroit.
I took the Cowboys.
I took the Cowboys.
Minnesota over Dallas. I took Minnesota. So there were your swing games.
See, yeah. I don't go by the spread, though. I just pick on my gut. I do the spreads when we bet, but I don't pick these games by the spreads.
Well, anyways, I'm back in business.
Here we go.
Let's go. All right, we start 10 a.m. on Sunday. Atlanta, what the hell was that last week? Are they good all of a sudden? Dan Quinn not fired yet. 2-7 Atlanta on the road against 5-4, clinging to their playoff live, Carolina Panthers.
I'm going to take the Carolina Panthers here. Came within a yard of beating Green Bay, or not beating, but tying Green Bay in Lambeau Field last week and potentially tying. I liked what I saw from Kyle Allen. I still think they're a good team, and Atlanta sucks, and I'm not buying into one-game sample sizes, so I'm going to take Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not, especially on the road. When they get out of the dome, forget it. So a lot of Christian McCaffrey here. I'll take Carolina.
Yeah, make it 3-for-3. I, too, will take Carolina. That one, I mean, that had to be the biggest curveball we've seen late in the season to a survivor pool in a long time. Like, and it wasn't just a win. They dominated them. That was wild. But give them Carolina to get the win at home. Next one up, Dallas on the road after their loss to Minnesota. And they're clinging to that. They need to win the division, essentially. I think they're two games back now of the Vikings for that last playoff spot, or a game and a half, whatever it is. They are on the road against the Matt Stafford-less, it looks like, Detroit Lions.
Yeah, Schefter says it's not looking good for him. I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys to bounce back. This is not so much a statement on, I think the Cowboys are legit. This is more a statement of Detroit is banged up, and I just don't think they're going to be able to get it going with Jeff Driscoll. Give me the Cowboys in a rebound game.
Yeah, Cowboys will find a nice balance offensively, but defensively, I think they'll just turn it loose.
That's a big weekend for Dallas, too, because we'll get to the Philly game in a little bit. That division is basically you're going to have to win it to get in. I tend to feel that way. Philly's got New England at home.
Yes, they do.
It's a swing game. They pull an upset. Dallas lays an egg. That's big, man. Dallas right now has the advantage with wins in the division. I, too, will take the Cowboys, though, to get the win on the road in Detroit. Next one up. This is an interesting game all of a sudden. Indy, wheels have fallen off a little bit, but that was because Brian Hoyer. Now Brissett, it sounds like, is going to be back. They are still at home. And Nick Foles back in the lineup for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville at Indy.
Assuming everything stays as is and Jacoby Brissett plays, I will take the Indianapolis Colts to win this game, even with Foles returning from injury. I'd imagine there's a bit of a rust factor. Hasn't had any real playing time this year. Coming back from that, I know Indianapolis has kind of flamed out at the end of some of these games, but Brissett is substantially better than Brian Hoyer. And even with the kicking woes of Vinatieri, I think the Colts will still get this one.
Yeah, I got more concerns about Foles being rusty for as long as he's been out. I think Brissett will pick up right where they left off. Marlon Mack continues to look healthier and healthier from his issues. So this probably won't be a very aesthetically pleasing game, but I'll take the Colts.
Yeah, I'd love to take the under. I don't know what it is, but I'd like the under in this game. I'm taking the upset. I think Jacksonville's a good defensive team. They're coming off a bye, so they had an extra week to prepare. Indy's been through some close, kind of tough losses 2 weeks ago at Pittsburgh. Last week at home, they couldn't beat the damn Dolphins. I don't care how bad Brian Hoyer is. So I am going to take the Jacksonville Jaguars with Nick Foles being back. Give me the Yags. Next one up, are we all saying Buffalo on three? 1, 2, 3.
Buffalo.
Buffalo.
They are in Miami. Yeah, this
Buffalo
weekend.
Has a prove it factor here. They're going to beat Miami, I think. I don't know how I feel about
Miami's
Buffalo.
Miami's covered
anymore.
Like five or six
five
games
straight.
In a row.
Five straight. Yeah. They've been covering. I don't know what this spread is, but Buffalo is just meh. And their record's going to look better than I think the team that they actually are.
And beating anybody. 6.5 right now is what it says on ESPN. So somewhere in that touchdown range. Next one up, this is going to be one of the games I'm more excited for this weekend. Baltimore. And we talked to Ross Tucker earlier. He thinks Baltimore might be the best team in the league. They are playing great football. Blew out the Bengals last week the way that they should. They're at 7-2 atop the division, hosting the 6-3 Houston Texans. Ravens, Texans, 87% of people going with Baltimore.
I think Houston's actually going to keep this one rather close and flirt with a lead a little bit. And I love Houston plus the 4.5 number. Deshaun Watson's just a stud. He shows up when they need it. He's a big game guy. And I know Baltimore's playing well, but on the other side, having Deshaun Watson can be a nightmare defensively. I'll take Baltimore in a field goal game.
Yeah, this could be a shootout, one of those fun ones. But I think Baltimore's just got a few more options and wrinkles on offense than Houston at the end of the day. So I'll go with the Ravens.
Yeah, I don't know. I've gone back and forth on this one today. Baltimore is playing great football. There's no doubt about it. I do think we're overlooking Houston a little bit going into this game. I mean, they won 4 out of 5. The only loss was that close loss in Indy. 30-23 was the final. They beat the Raiders. They beat the Jags. I know not necessarily that those wins stand out, but they also beat Kansas City with Mahomes. It's a team that's playing good football right now. And I think I'm going to take the upset. It feels like the NFL is the kind of league right now. Every time we toast a team and then we think they're the best in the NFL, they find a way to lose and stumble. I'm going to take Houston to get the win in Baltimore. Give me the Texans at 6-3 to beat the Ravens. All right, we got a few more games to pick on the other side. A couple of turd sandwiches, so I apologize for those. But you do get an intriguing game on Sunday night. In my mind, you got New England and Philly and Kansas City and the Chargers. The rest of our Pro Football Challenge is next on The Fan. Yogi Roth preached to our choir. We'll get to that coming up bottom of the hour. Also, what should the punishment be for the Houston Astros?
I think they should get spanked on the hiney. Ooh. By Rob Manfred.
I'm visiting.
Don't do that again.
Yeah, the Michael Scott scene with his nephew.
Yeah.
Start spanking him. P1 Raymond chiming in. I got $5 down on the parlay.
Let's
Swaggard
go.
Better be right.
Let's go.
It's my last $5 in the app.
Uh-oh. Swag has that look on his face like, I'm starting to cost people money.
This is dangerous.
Look, if you're listening to this show and for any length of time and foolish enough to follow our financial advice, that's on you.
We won't say anything if we get it wrong, but if we get it right, we will tell you. We got that bet right.
Oh, that'll
baby.
Lead the show. That'll be
yeah,
an open tomorrow.
Segment. Tomorrow.
Yeah, you know how Colin does where Colin was right. Where
yeah.
Colin, we only do where Durden's Breaker
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Only the right part.
We pay up. I mean, I went and we had video evidence of me trying to squat 300 pounds, so I'll own it.
That is true. If you missed the parlay, we'll get to that again to close out the show. We're in the middle of the Pro Football Challenge, though. You can go play along, 1080thefan.com, make your picks, chance to win cool prizes. And the listener leader right now is at 100, and we are at 91 and 90, respectively. So,
well, that's not bad.
A little work to do. Got a slight gap on us. It's still blue beta 20, I believe.
Yeah,
is still
who's from the fan who's number one?
Oh, I don't know. Doesn't
remember
matter.
It's Suk and the junior fan genius.
Oh, they're not picking. They're
so
not
the
picking.
Favorites are having a good year then, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we left off with...
I'm going to find out from Sukanik after the show.
Yeah, I know the baby doesn't make the picks.
There's no way that... Yeah, Alicia's doing that.
We left off with Houston and Baltimore. Next one up. Let's blow the horn. Minnesota on 3. 1, 2, 3.
Minnesota.
They're at home against the Denver Broncos. Okay, how about this one? I think we're doing it. I think?
Oh, yeah.
New Orleans on 3. 1, 2, 3.
Saints. New Orleans.
Okay.
They're not going to play that bad again.
They're on the road against Tampa.
It's nice to get your ass kicked once in a while to remind you that you're just like everybody else.
They put their pants on one leg at a time, too. Tampa Bay hosting New Orleans. We will all take New Orleans. All right, here we go. The turd sandwich of the day. Gotta love a game like this.
I think we can 1, 2, 3 this one.
No, I want theories, I want reasoning, and I want a game plan behind it. The Washington Redskins are at home. They are 1-8. Dwayne Haskins is their starting quarterback.
All right, well, I'll take the Jets.
They're hosting the 2-7 New York Jets.
Because Dwayne Haskins has not played all that well.
Okay.
Washington is horrific.
Okay, Jets and lost the Dolphins.
Well, true. As bad as the Jets are, at least they rebounded and had a great showcase against the Giants.
Okay.
Got it going. All 34
right,
points.
All right.
I will take the 2-win Jets over the 1-win Washington franchise.
Yes, I think there will be no Fitz magic this time. I wonder what his record is or what his stats are average against his former teams when they meet up. But I will take that Jets secondary against Fitz magic all day long.
Yeah, I too will take the Jets.
Oh, so we could have 1-2-3'd that game.
I just wanted your theories behind it.
It's not theories. Sometimes you're just hoping the bad team's not as bad as the other bad team.
How many picks does Dwayne Haskins throw?
Let's set the over-under at 2.5.
Over. Okay, next one up. San Francisco at home coming off their tough loss on Monday Night Football. They're 8-1. They're hosting the Arizona Cardinals. I know we're all going to say San Francisco. Is there any level of concern?
No.
None at all, huh?
I mean, think about how they lost that game.
Staley's back out.
Well, Staley got his butt whooped on Monday night.
They did almost just lose to Arizona 2 weeks ago.
They still don't have Kittle.
It was 28-25.
They did. Come on. You watched that game. You really thought they were going to lose to Arizona?
One score game.
That was garbage time points.
One score game.
They were.
Is that a double digit?
It was 10, yeah.
The spread on Sunday is like 11.5.
Oh, yeah. This one is
I would
over
take
10.
Those points, but I can't see the 49ers ever really being. I mean, it might be.
Hangover game? No.
They lost. Hangover game, we lost?
No.
No Sanders. Won't. No Kittle. Staley looked old.
Sprague's got his 49er speedo on today.
And they brought in a rookie kicker who completely shanked a kick.
Yeah. Hey, sent him to overtime.
Yeah, but he shanked the kick that would have won the game.
All right, I'll take San Francisco, too. I do like Arizona with the points, though.
Absolutely.
I think Arizona can keep this game close. All right, next one up. I'm assuming we're all doing it on this one as well. Got a lot of turds this weekend. Oakland on 3, 1, 2, 3.
Oakland.
They play the Cincinnati Bengals at home. I kind of want to lay the wood on that game. Stay tuned for Sprague and the Line tomorrow. They're like a 10.5-point favorite. Cincinnati sucks. Who's their starter now? Ryan Finley. Dear God, they're bad.
Awful.
Bad, bad, bad. All right, next one up. I'm excited for this one. 1:25, one of the afternoon games. Not a lot of afternoon games on Saturday. You only got San Francisco, Arizona, Oakland, Cincinnati, and Philly, New England. That's it. 3 afternoon games. But Philly at home, 5-4, taking on New England, I believe off of the bye. Eagles and Pats. Are we taking an upset?
I thought I read an article that said they were going to stop doing this, like all the games in the morning and just a couple in the afternoon. But
this
I feel
might
like
be honestly a weekend in which I don't do this often. I might at 1:25 just turn on the Eagles and Patriots broadcast.
Yeah, I don't have much interest in Oakland. I don't have much interest in the Chargers, Chiefs. I might end up doing the same thing. I'm going to take New England here in a bounce back from the Baltimore game. Brady has already talked about how that Super Bowl still sticks with him. Not that he's going to light them up, but I just think that Belichick defense is going to be a little more locked in than they were against Baltimore. I'll take a rebound for them. I'll take New England on the road.
Yeah, I think the Patriots are going to come up with all sorts of creative and exotic blitzes and make Carson Wentz run for his life and find a way to get just enough offense. Could be heavy on the rush or a lot of screen passes. Trying to get guys out in the flat, let the Eagles over pursue things. So I trust the Pats here.
Yeah, both teams coming off byes, which I think makes it interesting. I'm taking the upset too. I'm trying to fade New England a little bit, which is a really dumb strategy, but it worked for me at least on Sunday night when they lost to Baltimore. You know, one of the things that got lost a little bit in that game, because Lamar Jackson running around making plays was a lot of fun. They did a good job at times of slowing that New England offense down, and they got into Tom Brady's kitchen a little bit. I think Philly's going to be able to do that this weekend. They're at home cooking. Big game for them division-wise. I'm going to take the Eagles to pull off the upset. Sunday Night Football, you got the Rams at home at 5-4, taking on the 4-5 Chicago Bears.
Did you just skip over Kansas City?
That's Monday night, man. I go Sunday night, then Monday night.
Yeah.
Got to go chronological order here, Bob. 84% of people taking the Rams Sunday Night Football.
This is not going to be an easy one, but I'm going to take the Rams in a ugly game, 16-14.
That's literally the score that I picked, too.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, I have it in front. Yeah, 16-14.
Yeah, I'm going with the Rams. I don't.
We are one person.
Don't
we are.
Trust the Bears' good point, offense Dirk. At all. Just no.
No, I don't either. But I'm taking the Bears, baby.
Oh, it's same score, but opposite.
Yeah, I took Chicago 16-14. Look, the Rams have serious issues on offense. They couldn't score against Pittsburgh. They can't protect the quarterback. Even when they run the ball successfully, they go away from Todd Gurley like he's on a pitch count or something. Doesn't make any damn sense to me. The Bears, say what you want about Trubisky, and I've had a lot of fun at his expense this year. Their defense is still dominant and keeps them in games. They're going to get after Jared Goff, man. The numbers aren't good. Give me the better defense. I'm taking the Bears 16-14. And last one up.
That's a good point, too. Somebody pointed out on the window. He's streaming, so he's a little behind. Next week, since the Niners and Packers got flexed in and Seattle got flexed out, there's only 2 afternoon games.
Yeah, because Seattle's on the road in Philly, so it's a 10 a.m. game, I believe, right?
Sheesh.
Yeah, 49ers-Packers is now the Sunday night game next week. Last one up, Monday Night Football in Mexico City. You have the Chargers taking on the Chiefs. 4-6 Chargers, 6-4 Chiefs.
Yeah, the Chiefs really let me down last week. And the way they started that, I felt so great about my Sprague the Line pick at 6. I thought they were going to end up running away with it. Eventually, they'd get a stop with Ryan Tannehill. No, they didn't. They allowed Derrick Henry to average about 8.2 yards per carry, all over him, and ended up just flat out losing. Just out of sheer desperation, I'm going to take the Chiefs, because if they lose this, Oakland's going to win. You're not only in trouble for the division, I think if you lose this game to the Chargers, you're in serious trouble of the playoffs. As good as Patrick Mahomes is, he can't stop anybody defensively, and neither can any of the players that do play defense. So I'll take the Chiefs in a bit of a shootout, and this is kind of it for them for me.
Yeah, in a shootout, because Ogba is now out. He was one of the best pass rushers for the Chiefs. So,
yikes.
Defense, they're going to have to win it with Patrick Mahomes. I think they can. The Chargers will find a way, spread the field as much as they can. Looks like their receiving corps is as healthy as it's going to be. And Damian Williams is starting to look like a dependable running back. In all situations. So I think that's a shootout, but I'll take Patrick Mahomes, who doesn't appear that his knee's causing him any problems now.
Yeah, he said he feels healthier than he did at the start of the year. I don't know if I quite buy that, but I'm just glad he's back and playing, and he was awesome last week. You mentioned his break. It wasn't his fault they lost. They couldn't stop the run to save their life. Derrick Henry ran all over him. I, too, will take Kansas City. I'm not very confident in the pick, but just when you give me Mahomes versus Rivers at this point, I'm going to take Mahomes, and I think a lot of other things are equal on the rosters. Rivers, man, just watching him throw the ball last Thursday against Oakland, he just looks old.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys get old quick, but just, I don't know.
I'd imagine Melvin Gordon's going to get a ton of carries this weekend against that depleted Chiefs defense.
Yeah, there is a benefit there, too. The Chargers got a little extra rest because they played that Thursday night game against Oakland, so a couple extra days off. But I will take Kansas City to get the win on Mahomes to air it out a little bit. We'll talk a little Thursday night football to close up the show. How excited are we for Cleveland-Pittsburgh? But there is the Pro Football Challenge every Thursday, 2 to 2:30. Go play along, 1080thefan.com. Okay, let's skip to Yogi Roth. He preached to our choir, and we wanted to play that for you. Also, what should the punishment be for the Houston Astros? Because Jeff Passan had an interesting note of ESPN about what Major League Baseball could possibly do. Those things are coming up next. The greatest man alive. That listener texted in. Got a little less faith in Swag's picks. $2 down. Woo!
Hey, still ate some money.
It's okay. Tread lightly.
I'll re-tease the parlay of the day at the end of the show. One of our listeners says, thanks, that's a great tease, Sprague. I mean, Swag. I mean, Dirt.
Wow. All right. That's just what the show's been today.
Somebody said, I can't find the Dallas line on the app. I just pulled up the scoreboard.
That's probably
app.
About Stafford if it's off.
No, I think assuming he's mentioning the parlay.
Oh, Porzingis. Yes. You got to click the game, and then there's a bunch of props that drop down after you click the game.
Yeah, click
the spread.
Yeah, click directly
on
it.
So if you're on the NBA, so I'm just having it on my phone right in front of me. Yeah, so if you click the game, a whole other screen will pop up, and then you scroll down, you should be able to find the Porzingis.
Although he is right. The Cowboys-Lions game is not currently on the board.
Oh, okay. Well, probably because we don't know about Stafford.
Yeah, we don't know about Stafford, so they probably took it off.
Well, he said that listener texted in saying he was doing the parlay of the day, so I'm assuming it was on the Porzingis over under. Let's get to this. Yogi Roth is on the Pac-12 network. He does a lot of stuff with our buddy Mike Yam, and you know, we've ranted and raved about it. I did enjoy, I think, one of my favorite moments of the week so far is when we had a listener who doesn't follow the show page randomly tweet us on Tuesday, was like, hey, thanks for digging into Alabama, I appreciate it, loved it. I was like, you know
but
what?
They don't follow our
they
show
They don't
page.
Follow us. But hey, you know what? I appreciate that, because it was fun to dig into Alabama a little bit. Well, Yogi Roth tweeted out a video. He also ranted, and I thought he brought up some really good points. No matter how you feel about the Pac-12 or where this team should be ranked or that team or who's better, I thought he made some really good points. Here's Yogi Roth on Bama in the playoff picture.
What has me passionate and confused is the discussion around the CFP and the bedrock principle in competitive sports. We all grew up and likely teach our kids that there are winners and losers in a game, that winning creates good habits, and that losing creates opportunities to respond to that adversity. I don't think there will be much pushback to that. I've also heard from countless people around the globe, in sports media, and from coaches that this generation needs to learn that everyone doesn't get a trophy. And I agree. I'd like to think that we would all agree that millennials, Gen Z, and people of all ages should learn that success is earned. But when Alabama loses, we want to give them a pass and call them four best because they looked the part. They did look impressive. I watched the game. But they also lost the game in a sport that has contradictory paths toward for best. So let's be truth tellers. Bama's roster under Nick Saban will always look the part. They will always have one of the four best rosters in the nation. But they did not execute when they needed it. They are unlikely to earn the opportunity to win a conference title. And oh, by the way, they played their best game of the season coming off a bye week at home. And in case you missed it, they lost. And if it was any other program, this would not be a conversation. But since it's the SEC, a rabid and, in my opinion, an unrealistic fan base and a coach who has a ton of juice, it's just different. I get it. Alabama is elite. And I do think they could play anyone in the nation with a few weeks to prepare. But this year, they missed out. They messed up. They lost in November at home coming off a bye week. So to those on the Bama train, I ask you one thing. When did sports lose the very founding principle it was based on? At some point, teams have to earn it. And this year, in mid-November, Alabama did not earn and does not deserve to be in the conversation around four best. Now, we just have to spend the next few weeks trying to sort out who does.
There's Yogi Roth. And I think you look no further than the example he's bringing up. Why is Penn State falling the way that they did?
Well, I mean, I didn't think they fell that bad.
Well, they fell all the way to eight.
That's only four spots, though.
I know, but there's a big difference between where Penn State sits and where Alabama sits in the
rankings.
They
lost to an undefeated team by one score on the road.
On the road.
Yeah, but the loss is better for Alabama than it is
Penn
State.
Sure, but the wins are better for Penn State than they are for Alabama,
yeah,
I would argue.
No, I wouldn't argue. Yeah, but this goes into what we've talked about, which is why I'm glad we pulled the audio and we played it. Because we may have our opinions, and people listening may go, oh, yeah, I know how you guys feel about it. You haven't changed my mind. Okay, maybe I didn't change your mind. Maybe Yogi Roth didn't either. But we need more perspective on this of we are just so naturally inclined to give them every benefit. And how many other programs in the country would you realistically right now today, Dirt, where are we giving the benefit of the doubt to who else? Outside of Alabama, we give it to Ohio State? Probably.
Yeah, depending on who they lose to and the way that it looks, if it happened, yeah. Ohio State, maybe LSU, just because of the resume that they built up of wins to this point. But Clemson doesn't get it.
But that's this year.
Yeah.
And Clemson,
Clemson loses, they're done.
They have two championships, and they're not going to get that benefit of the doubt, right? And I know that's LSU versus Clemson would lose to Wake or whoever the hell is that's not very good in the ACC. I understand that. But his point is we are so naturally inclined to watch Bama be there that now we're to a point where we're just making excuses and finding reasoning to keep them there. And I loved the recruiting angle too. Of course they have a top four roster in the country.
Of course they do.
They're always going to a Nick Saban. They're always going to recruit in the top five, six, seven. So because of that, because of the national championships he's won, I think five total in his career?
I believe so. Maybe six.
Five or six titles in his career, four or five at Alabama. And because they made it a year where they didn't win their own division nor go to their conference championship, but they still won the national championship, because of all those things, it doesn't matter almost what they do during a season. They can lose a game at home and play nobody, and you're sitting here arguing with people about why they should still be in over a one-loss conference champion. I'm not even talking about Oregon. If you want to throw Utah in this.
Sure, Oklahoma might be a one-loss conference champion.
Oklahoma could be that. Yeah. Baylor may end up being that. Whoever it is, Minnesota may end up being a one-loss or undefeated conference champion. Whoever it is, you need to take into account what the season has been. And all the arguments for Bama are all about what they've already done in the years past. It's not about this year.
No.
When I argue with Cam, when I argue with Derek Anderson, when I argue with anybody else on this topic.
Oh, it's Alabama.
Right. All the arguments are not about their season. It's about what they have done and not what they what they have done in the past and what they haven't done or have done this year.
Yeah. Somebody texted in, wait, so Oregon does deserve to be in this conversation over Bama? Neither have big wins. If that's the case against Bama, why is Oregon in this talk at all? Well, first off, as of right now, there's no argument against that. Neither of them have a quality win. Both of them have good losses, I think. LSU beat Alabama in their own stadium, but LSU's number one team in the country. Auburn beat Oregon on a neutral site. Auburn's a good team. They're ranked number 11 in the country right now, and maybe they pull off an upset against Georgia. The argument will be at the end of the season. Now, everybody's got to take care of business. We don't even know if Alabama's going to be there. They might lose before then. They could lose to Auburn in the Iron Bowl for all we know. And who knows? Maybe Oregon loses and none of this is even a conversation. It's a point about when you get to the end of the year, the criteria that the committee laid out, one of the most important things that they looked at from the very get-go was conference championships. That was one of the most important factors when they're deciding, should you be in the playoff or should you not? And they went away from it the year that they chose Alabama to be in because there were no other one-loss Power 5 conference champions. That looks like it could be different this year with not only the Pac-12, potentially if Utah and Oregon go unscathed, whoever wins that game, and then it could also happen with the Big 12.
I think the Big 12 is a serious contender here to sneak up on everybody and
absolutely
go,
absolutely they are.
Hey, Baylor went through it undefeated and won the conference, or Oklahoma got through, who do they have left? They have Baylor, and I think they have Oklahoma State and the Big 12 championship.
Yeah.
And if Kansas State is ranked, that's going to be looked at least as a respectable loss and not a bad one.
Yeah, and if you're just picking teams because you think they're one of the best four because of what they've done in the past or because of the star ranking recruits that they have, my argument against that is why even play the games? What's the point? We might as well just start the playoff at the beginning of the year. Every single year have it be Georgia, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, maybe now LSU, and there's your championship. Yeah. Don't even play a damn season because none of it's worth it.
My favorite, too, yesterday I got called out on primetime, which it's totally fine because I did. I went hard with an opinion on I think Oregon wins out. Everybody wins out. Oregon will get over Bama. Mm-hmm. I love.
You didn't say you think they're going to win out. You said if they win out.
There is huge, everything breaks and everybody right now wins out, including LSU beating Georgia, I think Oregon gets in. I just do. You can go definitive. You cannot go. I don't really care. My opinion is I think Oregon is right now set up the best to make it over Bama. And I loved Primetime was talking about the playoff and the hypothetical. And should we talk about so many hypotheticals when we still have football to be played? To which I would respond, we talk about hypotheticals all the time on sports radio and different topics. I loved that Isaac was talking about not doing it. So Kanick was agreeing, and then, Siri's attacking me. And then Suk did it twice in the same segment.
I know, you can't avoid the trap, man.
You can't.
You
it's
put the
fun
bait
to
in
talk
front,
about.
You talk about it.
My point to them would be, okay, you don't like the hypothetical scenarios because you could have so many things change this weekend and next weekend. But I go week to week with it. I just enjoy college football so much.
It's a fun debate. You would do this with any other sport. Imagine right now having to come up with a 4-team playoff model in the NFL.
Oh, God, that's a nightmare scenario.
So, no, sorry.
That's more impossible than college football.
We're going to let people sit in a room and decide who gets to play for the NFL championship. Who are your 4 teams that make it? Go.
Yeah, right.
You would debate it endlessly. Yeah. Well, what if they beat this team? Or what if they lose that week? Or what? It doesn't go anywhere. I love the fodder. I love the conversation.
These conversations, Dirk, for me personally, these conversations are why I love doing sports radio. Yeah. Why I always wanted to do it was because we can talk about, hey, that game last night, did you see? What do you think about this athlete's quote? Those are fun, too. I do enjoy that. But I love having the conversations that I have with my friends and that, hey, is that the best quarterback? Do you think they're the best team in the NFL? Do you think this college team deserves it over that college team? Those are what I live for. I love those conversations.
Yep. Somebody said Minnesota should without a doubt be ahead of Oregon. Alabama undefeated, better win than either of them. I agree completely. Minnesota should be the number 4 team or number 5 team right now in the college football playoff poll. I agree completely.
Different standards for different programs, man.
Let's get to the Houston Astros, the poll questions, and Thursday Night Football as we wrap up the show. We'll do it next on The Fan. Ooh, just like a little Shaggy to close up the show. Welcome back in. People are debating. It's good, man. I like the back and forth.
Well, somebody, the eight team playoff thing has thrown out. I think Mandel wrote an article about this recently, and it's not that's new, but somebody talked about.
Years.
Well, somebody said how the games don't matter. Let me see if I find this. You also advocate for a Power 5 champ to get an automatic in with an 8-game playoff, no matter the record. Games matter? To which you responded with what you think. I think the games will matter. I think it matters immensely every week in college, even if you have 8, because you need 5 automatic because of their conference championship, and you would get these teams that play each other.
Yeah, I don't like the fear-mongering of that as well. You could get an 8-4 team in the playoff. When was the last 8-4 team that won a Power 5 conference?
Well, but here's my response to that. Who cares? Do you care about a 4-loss team in the NFL versus a 6-loss team in the NFL versus a 7?
Maybe they got hot late. Maybe they had injuries early. Maybe they won a Power 5 conference championship.
Yes.
That means the game mattered because they had to go win their division and win the conference championship.
And if Minnesota or Baylor, right, let's step away from Oregon, Utah stuff. If Baylor or Minnesota were to get in, and they're the four seed, and they take on LSU. I am taking LSU to win that game by a lot, but does that nullify it? Does that mean that Minnesota didn't do what they were supposed to do and they didn't earn that spot?
Yeah.
I don't think we need to fearmonger over games mattering or not matter. I think they matter almost too much now. A team loses one game. Oregon lost to Auburn the first week of the season, and you know, Duck fan is out there going, well, that's the season. It's over. They lost one game, and people are already to get over the season. The season's over. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's too much to me. I would actually be okay and open-minded when you go to an eight team of getting to the 2-3 lost teams, because I would know that at least they're good, right?
Yeah,
if Auburn hangs with Alabama, let's say they lose to Georgia, but whatever. They lose three games. But they hang with Bama. I'm going to know Auburn's legit three-loss team. Doesn't matter if they lost three games. I know that they're good. That if they were to somehow make it in that kind of conversation, I'm not going, well, this sucks. I'd be like, well, Auburn's a really good football team. They had a tough schedule. Auburn, you talk about strength of schedules. Auburn's is brutal.
Yeah. It's playing Oregon and then the four games that they had to play in conference.
Yeah,
it's a brutal schedule.
You
for
get
them.
Five games like that. Most programs don't get more than three.
Yeah, everybody's scheduling different. That's what makes it tough. That's why I don't like just looking at win-loss records. It responded, a 2 or 3 loss champ gets in automatically over a 1-loss champ. Well, if you win your conference, yeah, I do believe you should get in.
I'm cool with that,
but
too.
There's also 3 at-large bids. Are we acting like there's 5 1-loss non-conference championship teams every year? Right? Like, how many are you going to have this year? I don't think Minnesota's going to go unscathed. Maybe they do. But to my knowledge, the only times we've ever seen a 1-loss, either conference champ or non-conference champ, not make the college football playoff, Ohio State didn't do it last year. They got left out, and it was very controversial. And then you had year one, where there were 1-loss conference champs or co-conference champs in Baylor and TCU that got left out from the Big 12. There's 3 at-large bids. So, yes, the automatic bid would go to the conference champion. But for example, if you had an 8-team format this year, Alabama would get in the playoff. This isn't an argument. Of course they would get one of the at-large bids, with maybe Minnesota if they go unscathed till the Big Ten championship, or maybe somebody else continues to play good, or maybe it's Georgia, right? Like, there's still 3 more spots available. They're still going to go to the playoff.
And that's, you know, that's always been the difference. So, 8 would get rid of the debate, the hypothetical, the argument, the back and forth, because we would just go, well, win your conference, you're in, and then you can talk about the other 3. But largely the other 3 by the end of the year, you mentioned Alabama, right? People want Alabama in the 4, but Alabama would be a lock if they had 8.
Yeah. Okay, we're not going to have time for the Astros today. I've been teasing that the whole show, so I apologize.
The cheating Astros?
The cheating Astros. We'll get to that tomorrow. God, the college football takes just get me fired up. So we'll get to that coming up tomorrow. I got to get rid of the text line because it's going to distract me the rest of the show. Somebody's now saying Auburn is no good. They went into Baton Rouge and lost. They had a lead in the second half against LSU. They played LSU better than Alabama did.
Alabama was losing by 20 at home to LSU.
They had a lead in the second half in Baton Rouge. They held LSU
eyeball
to
test,
23
bro.
Points. You
Stop.
Know how many LSU scored in the second half against Alabama? 23 points. They scored as many points against Alabama in one quarter as they did in the entire game in their home stadium against Auburn. How are they no good? This is driving me
eyeball
nuts.
Test, bro.
Okay, here is
you're
your...
not picking against Alabama when your team plays them.
Here it is for those of you who missed it. New thing on the show. We'll see if we can continue this throughout the days as we move forward.
Well, tomorrow we could double dip with it too, because
we
got Sprague and the Line.
We got Sprague and the Line.
That's true. I think what needs to happen here is if
should we rotate turns? By the way,
well, no. I'm thinking if the person hits it.
Oh, you get to go again?
Then you go again the next
Ride
day.
Ride the heater. I'm with that.
That's
okay.
Not a bad idea.
Okay.
And then if you don't, then somebody else takes over.
I like that idea. So here is the can't miss lock of the day parlay from Jason Swigard. Under 240.5 passing yards for Baker Mayfield. He's taking the Clippers in the first quarter line -1 against the Pelicans.
Paul George's return. The Pelicans are awful.
No Kawhi Leonard, though. And he's taking the over of 20.5 points for Kristaps Porzingis in his return to Madison Square Garden.
The Baker one is my only nerve one, but I like it.
So if you miss it, under 240.5 passing yards for Mayfield, Clippers first quarter line against the Pelicans -1, and the over of points scored for Porzingis against the Knicks. There is your can't miss lock of the day parlay, courtesy of one Jason Swigard. For the tweets later tonight to send to him if he loses, @FanSwag on Twitter, or you can congratulate him and you guys can celebrate the money that you win. Thursday Night Football quickly, who we got? Browns hosting the Steelers.
I'm going to take the Steelers. I'm just going to ride the momentum that they're on right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take the Steelers. I think that defense is going to just have Baker's number.
I'll take Cleveland. What the hell? I'm an idiot, but give me the Browns. There you go. Good little show. If you miss any of it, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We had Ross Tucker on today. Really good stuff from him. Also, Dan Wolken wrote a piece about Mario Cristobal and Ed Orgeron. So you can find those. We'll tweet them out at Thurt and Sprague and at 1080thefan. Thank you for being a part of our Thursday. Enjoy Thursday Night Football. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.